Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, babies, it's your girl, Miss P, and you are now in tune. For all those that's tuning in for the first time, I hope it's not your last. And for all those who continue to support the In Tune show and all that we do, and we do a lot, we just want to thank you. Tonight, we're going to be gaining on someone that I think is absolutely amazing, and I am so grateful to have the opportunity to not only gain on him and everything that he's putting out in the universe, but for you guys to also gain on him, because as the name of the show goes, In Tune. So keeping you in tune to the most amazing people out there. So I'm glad that Gene is on with us tonight. I want to take the time to give a shout out to Hannah Moorhead, because without her, none of this would be possible. So I'm not going to talk you guys' heads off tonight. I'm going to let him come on, because he is such a character from all the things that I've learned that I don't want to do too much talking. You guys hear from me all the time. I just want Gene to come on and tell us about everything that he does. He's amazing. So without further ado, Gene, how are you tonight?
Oh, precious. How are you, baby?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for, you know, allowing us to
get
to know
you. There was the biggest setup. Oh, no, I'm not interested in how you are. I'm not trying to talk over you. But I just have to say, like, how could I possibly fucking live up to what? Come on. You know, make it easy for me, for Christ's sake. You know, I'm not a veteran of these things. I actually have a horrible, horrible upper respiratory infection.
Honey, listen, I'm on the radio. I'm doing an interview, right? Do you have a lighter for me so I can go out and smoke a cigarette?
I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm doing an interview. I need a fucking lighter, right? Oh, can I say fuck on the radio?
No, you can't, George.
God's sake. This is how it always is. This is a fucking clusterfuck train wreck always.
I don't fucking know, do I? All right, could you put my coat on for me?
Okay, I'm so drunk I can't even put my own coat on. What do you want to talk about? We'll talk about it, sure. It'll happen. But, you know,
yeah,
let me get out definitely. Of my, let me get out of the apartment, you know. It's inside out, honey.
Yeah. You see, it's completely inside out. It's not doable, right? You know.
I want you to say hello to Cynthia Santilia, my girlfriend.
Hi,
who's the,
Cynthia.
The ex formerly vocalist of High School Sweethearts. Honey, say hello.
Hello, darling.
Fuck.
Hi, how are you?
She hates me. She fucking hates me.
She loves you. So, Gene, do you have a few minutes?
Yes, of course. I'm going to spill wine over my boots, taking the wine outside to the front porch so I can smoke, and we can talk about nice little ideas that I promote in my books, you know.
Yes,
or we can talk
absolutely.
About your ideas, whatever. Jesus, I just spilled more. Oh, okay. Well, there's not much wine left. I'm drunk. I've had about 12 pints of ale at the bar, and I called the bartender, who was a beautiful Taiwanese girl about the age of, she's probably about 22, much too young for me. I called her an asshole, you know, but I was really nice about it. I called her an asshole in a nice way, you know, but it didn't go over. Anyway, sorry. So here we are. I got my wine, got my cigarettes, got a lighter, got everything we fucking need. So let's have a conversation, right?
Yeah, let's do this, because everyone is eager. I did a lot of promoting, so everyone is eager
Jesus.
To know. Yes, everyone is eager to know. I have 31K listeners, so everyone wants to hear from Gene. So tell us, where are you from?
Well, I can't believe everybody wants to hear from me. I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And it was I chronicled that in my first book, Dog Days, Volume 1. My first 19, 20 years in the central Pennsylvania region were monstrously unpleasant. And I was picked on by big black guys. I was picked on by basically, you know, you just pick the type, you know, whoever was out there, you know. I mean, I was like the fucking butt of everybody's joke. And I was a dishwasher and a load of trucks, and I did this, and the other fucking thing. And then I was fucking miserable, and I had to be married to a Jehovah's Witness, you know. I mean, know, and that was my first woman. I was her first man. So, you know, when that was all, when things were really falling apart, we didn't know really, she didn't know where to go, I didn't know where to go, but we definitely knew that we had to go away from each other. And that kind of sent me flailing out into the world as a narcissistic maniac, and because I was so in love with my own fucking broken marriage that I didn't have anything else, and I just, you know, all I wanted to do was get her back. And so I moved to New York. All I did was drugs, and anybody would sit still for me for 5 seconds, I'd, you know, well, we don't have to go into graphic detail, but, yeah, I mean, dog days is the result of all of that madness, you know, I guess you could say, you know, about 10 years, so the whole storyline, specific to dog days, is about the brutal murder of my cat by pit bulls in Baltimore, and that definitely spun me off into a bad direction. I wrote a book about it, period. That's it.
Right, absolutely.
Question, please.
Yeah, sure. So when did you first, you know, consider yourself a writer? Because you've done numerous books, and you've done a lot of literary stuff out there. So when did you consider yourself a writer?
I'll put it to you this way. Listen, there have been times in my life I see myself to be a great this, a great that, or a great, you know, whatever. And I was always mistaken, you know. I used to think I had a big dick. It turns out I don't have a big dick. I really don't. And, you know, the one thing I can claim with absolute certitude is I am the best fucking dishwasher you've ever seen, right? You know, and that's my claim to fame. You know, as a writer, I think I am the best writer in America, you know. But, you know, I am without publication, I'm without support, I'm without representation of any kind. And, you know, that's fine. You know, I like to play the victim, you know.
My second
marriage started. We will not go into that.
Yeah, but the best thing about what's happening tonight is that now we are connected, so I'm definitely in your corner, and, you know, I know a few people, and we'll see what we can do. I'm not promising anything, but I'm definitely going to, you know, push you in your books and, you know, everything about you to other people that I know so that they can gain and learn more about who you are as well and your master's
work. Precious, I have a full bottle of wine. I have a whole pack of cigarettes, and I just took a piss. So we're good for, like, I'd say a good 45 minutes. You know, you talk about whatever the hell you want. You know, you just guide me, and we'll go wherever. You know, I was trying to guide it somewhere. I don't know what the fuck. I told you I was drunk, all right? But my girlfriend, you know, she implored me, please don't sound drunk on the phone if you're going to be on the radio. And I'll try not to do that, you know. I know I have been doing that up until now, but I'm going to, here and now, I'm making a pledge. I'm going to behave myself. Ask me a question, I'll tell you no lies.
Okay. Is there a message in your novel that you want readers to grasp, per se?
Yeah. Life is basically a choice. Life is a choice between warm piss and cold piss. And anything that comes in between that is nourishing to you, spiritually, emotionally, philosophically, sexually, whatever. That's something you have to come up with on your own. And you're not going to get it from schools. You're not going to get it from the government. You're not going to get it from your parents. You're going to get it from yourself. That's it. That's the message. Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. So it's safe to say that, you know, your books are written based off of your life experiences.
No, as is the case with any writer, you know. But, I mean, my life experiences are guttural. And I write about guttural stuff. I write about rape. I write about drugs. I write about depression and self-mutilation. And, you know, I mean, it's a cesspool. The book is basically a complete cesspool. But done, I would like to think, with my own inimitable humor. I think I'm hilarious. I do, you know.
No, you are, and this is what Hannah told me, too. She said, you're going to love him. He's hilarious, and you definitely are, and I think you also have, like, a unique writing style. Very unique.
Oh, thank you for picking up on that. You know, I mean, I don't care if I sell 15 books or 15,000 books. You know, I just want people to, I'd like to make a dent in the world, you know, again, the number doesn't matter, you know. if somebody comes up to me and says, you know, hey, that made a big impression on me, and I look at things differently, and especially if the person happens to be a writer and they say that my writing helped them, I mean, that's beautiful, you know. Give a fuck about the money, you know. It's not about the money. It's about, you know, who are you in the world? And that you could take that over to any level or, you know, in any context. It's all about who are you versus them, you know. And, you know, so as far as being a writer, I mean, I could give a fuck, you know. I'm just a guy in the world, as is everybody else. Doesn't matter, you know, just fucking make your voice heard. You know, you could be bumming change on the street, you know. If you're going to do that, then do that, you know, to the best of your abilities and make people laugh. And I'm not that far from that. I'm not far. Actually, I'm exactly that, because I do bum money on the street, you know. I have an upper respiratory infection that I can't fix. I've been coughing up snot for about 4 days, having fevers and shaking. I've been in bed for the most part for the last 4 days. And, you know, so I go out, I get drunk, and my girlfriend calls me an asshole, you know, but she's here with me, and she still loves me.
Absolutely.
But don't ever go out into the world delicately, you know. Be as brash and as brutal as you fucking can be, just short of the law, you know. And then you're doing something, you know. That's the only advice I could ever give anybody is fucking, you know, don't be quiet, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you find particularly, like, challenging when you're writing?
Well, talking about my family was hard, you know. You know, but I worked my way through that, you know. I mean, challenges, like you know, today, I hate to bring this up, but the two rich assholes that like to, you know, kind of keep me in their club, they sent me out to Australia about 6 months ago. And I won't go into all the details of that, but the place that I occupy in their worlds is like I'm just like this goofy toy, you know. You can pull out of a closet and look at and giggle at and put back when you're done. And I'm not like that. I mean, this is my life. I mean, you know, when I say I'm starving, I'm starving. When I say that I'm shooting heroin, I am shooting heroin. When I say that I'm heartbroken, I am heartbroken. Now, they don't give a fuck about this. All they care about is that I am in the place that they want me to be when they want me to be there for them, right? Writing about that stuff has been a real challenge to me, because I don't really know how to, like, do that. I mean, you know, it's very easy to make villains out of people, but I don't think that anybody's really a villain. I just think that people just don't get it, you know, and you have to, you know, kind of draw a fine line between villainizing people that you think are your enemies and humanizing those same people, because, you know, I mean, that's the way of the world, you know. We all have people that don't treat us the way that we want to be treated. It could be our parents. Usually it's our parents, but it could be your best friend, an ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend. You know, you don't want to throw them under the bus, but, you know, what if they threw you under the bus first, you know? And you have to, like, fucking pull yourself back and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give them, their own day in court. You know, and the one thing that you have as a writer is that, you know, you always want to make sure that the people understand that they were the worst one and you were the best one. You know, and that's the privilege that you have as a writer. But still, you have to be fair. Yeah, you know, I think that's important. You know, to be fair to your characters. And I do try to do that. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So who designed the cover of your book, Dog Days?
I did. This is my crotch. That's my
nice.
Cock and balls, honey.
Love it.
You know, you're talking about cock and balls. Okay, I'll tell you about this, about my cock and fucking balls. I am about 6.5 inches. I'm just above average. You know, I get the job done. And there you have it. I don't have a big dick. And I've been a chronic alcoholic for 20 years. And I do a lot of coke. I do heroin sometimes. And I love ecstasy. So basically, I'm impotent, you know, I would say about 60% of the time. You know, my girlfriend gets a good fuck, that's a good night, you know, but that ain't every night.
Absolutely. So are there any writers out there that inspire you or, you know, that you feel that, hey, I could have wrote this book and did a better job, or they get too much recognition? Are there any people out there that challenge you in that way?
Now, I have a, that's a very easy question with a very easy answer. I have top five. The best writer, in my opinion, who ever lived was Louis Ferdinand Céline from France. And he was castigated as a Nazi sympathizer, which he was not. This is a man who, you know, basically, I'll give you a short version of this. He was a doctor, wounded in the First World War, a Frenchman. And, you know, he was too smart for the world. He was too sensitive for the world. And what happened to him, basically, was this. After the wounding in the war, he started writing books. And he portrayed the world as evil and awful and despicable. But he always saved the worst for himself. And that's not something that was necessarily, you know, accurate, you know, deserved. But what it was him assuming the role of the true writer, you know, no matter what you write about. Doesn't matter what you write about. But if you assume the role of the true writer, you have to cover yourself in your own shit. And that's what he did. You know, he talks about the Jews. He talks about poor people. He has poor people. He has rich people. He's everybody. But in his own personal life, he loved his cat and he loved his wife and basically kind of like fuck everybody else, except for the fact that he was a doctor and treated all the poor people that came to him for help and for treatment. He treated them for free. So he didn't really hate everybody. You know, he wanted so badly to be a misanthrope. And I'm like, I'm the same. I'm not really a misanthrope. I'm a guy that really wants to be. I want to hate everybody, but you know, I don't think that when it comes down to it, I have a bad bone in my body. You know, my alcoholism and my drug addiction. I mean, all of these things have made me into a person that I don't really want to be. But when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, you find me on the street, and I'm gonna treat you like a fucking human being, no matter what color you are, no matter what, you know, where you come from. How old you are. None of this shit matters. It really doesn't. And I think that we all get that on a basic level. But how often is that translated into literature? You know, everyone's got a specific subject. My subject is the human condition in general, writ large. And I do that based on myself, but it's not really about me. It's about everybody, you know. You know, I don't tell stories about lawyers because I don't fucking care about lawyers. I think lawyers are rotten. I hate lawyers. I hate doctors. I hate everybody. But I love everybody. Do you understand what I mean?
No, I do.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that that's a powerful point, and it makes a lot of sense to me, because why write about something just to write about it? You know, write about what you want. Like you said, use your voice. Say what you want to say. Live your life. Be free. That's the best thing that
If you're not going to do that, then what the fuck are you doing? You know, I mean, you're wasting your life. If you don't fucking put voice to every thought that comes through your head. Jack Kerouac, I mean, you know, on the road, 60 years took him to make it into a film that comes out on Friday here in New York. And, you know, that was his philosophy, first thought, best thought. And I agree with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's been said even better by Jesus Christ himself. You know, if you put forth what is within you, what you put forth will save you. If you do not put forth what is within you, what you do not put forth will destroy you. And I think I've lived those principles, you know, and I've taken them as my own my whole life. That's very important to me, man. You have to be exactly who you say you are. You know, if you say you're a guy that will put on a tutu and you know, naked. Otherwise, and swing a 4-foot machete up and down St. Pete Beach, Florida, you know, high on cocaine and heroin after just having fucking put a needle in your arm, then you better fucking do that. And this I done as well.
Right.
You don't have to like fucking set yourself up to do all these crazy things, but sometimes, you know, you find a place in your life when you realize, you know, that you're around people who haven't seen something before And they know it already, but they haven't actually seen it personified. So why not personify it? Why not be that? You know, and this is why my friends from the beach love me, and this is why I miss them very much. And I'm fucking, as much as I love New York, I'm dying to be back on St. Pete Beach. You know, you have to be who you say you are. You know, and I'm a crazy motherfucker. You know, I'll cut you. Put it that way.
I read that somewhere about you, Gene. So you've traveled a slew of places, mm. And you know the beach is the one that you enjoy going to the most in your journeys.
Mm-hmm. That's underestimating it or understating it. It's not just that I enjoyed that the most. I mean, it's the only thing that I ever enjoyed. You know, mm-hmm. I never had any pleasure in Detroit. Never had any pleasure in Los Angeles or New York. Baltimore, Harrisburg, you know, Louisville, Kentucky. I go on and on, but the only time I was ever truly happy is when I got to the beach and I actually had my first month's rent paid. I could look at my house, had a key for the door, and just to the left of my door was the ocean, you know. I could have coffee in the morning, I brew some coffee, and walk out my door, and right there, there's the ocean. That's the only time that I needed that to be happy. And here I am in New York, freezing cold, and, you know, the first, month that I was here, I didn't have shoes. I was wearing my flip-flops from Florida, and my feet were freezing the whole fucking first month for 4 weeks. I mean, I just froze. I had a girl who was helping me out, taking care of me, getting me, make sure that I had my drugs, my alcohol, and my food, everything I needed to live. But I didn't have shoes.
Right.
You know? And I, part of that was because I didn't really want to accept the fact that I had left Florida. And me leaving Florida, that's the new book. That's Intracoastal. You know? And Intracoastal is book about heroin and poverty and the ocean, you know, and it is the number one rated beach in the entire United States of America, St. Pete Beach, and, I'll tell you the story about that environment, that landscape that no one else will tell you because the rest of them, you know, are, I'm sorry to say this, but they're soon to be dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shot heroin. I did all the things that everyone else did, but I know how to not die from drugs, and that's because I listen to my body. You know, if I have a pain in my side, if I have a pain in my head, if I have any kind of like discomfort anywhere, and I assume that it is because of drugs, and it usually is, then I take a break. You know, and when I go mm-hmm. back on the drugs, I go back on the booze, even with cigarettes. You know, I mean, I'll start smoking when I feel like I'm in good enough shape to have another cigarette, and in between, you know, I lay low and I'm. You know, watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on my girlfriend's laptop.
I know, that's right. So do you see any changes in your writing from the time you first wrote your first piece until today? Have you seen any growth or anything that you can that stands out to you from your writing?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not going to answer that by saying this, but I'll say this, is that I won an award for the craft of writing when I was 7 years old, right? And I was living in this bullshit redneck town in Pennsylvania. And, so it was kind of like shoved in front of me. It's not even something that I wanted. I mean, like, but no one told me to write. I decided I was going to put words together, but I never, you know, I didn't really want people to, like, put this thing on me that I'm supposed to put words together better than the average person. I never wanted that. But by the time I was 16, you know, I realized that even though I'm very good looking and I'm tall, you know, blah, 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 but girls found me repulsive because I was fucking psychotic. I was cutting myself, you know, I was getting into fights I didn't have to get in, and I just wanted to, like, destroy everything. I was a horrible, horrible person, and I continue to be a horrible, horrible person. So, but what has sustained me through the years and being a horrible person is that, that promise that I found at the age of 7, you know, it disappeared for a bunch of years, and it came back when I was about 13, 14. That's real, you know, and that's the one good thing I have to offer the world. So, you know, I feel like, in a way, writing well is my apology to people for being such a fucking asshole, you know. I am. Trust me, Precious. I love you. I've never met you, but you sound like a really good girl. I'm an asshole. Right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my writing is it's my apology for them. And I've sacrificed everything. You know, I mean, my book Dog Days is about the murder of my cat, basically, and how that carried across sexually, socially, intellectually, philosophically, and psychologically, especially psychologically, because I became a fucking nutcase. You know, I wasn't prepared to lose my animal. You know, if I ever did any one good thing to anybody, I always likened it to the fact that, you know, I was a guy that loved cats, and I was good to my cat. So if I tipped a bartender correctly, you know, if I give money to a homeless person, you know, if I was nice to a girl that I just had sex with that I picked up in a bar, whatever, I mean, it was all about, you know, it all came back to my cat in my mind. And when I saw him being shook around in the mouth of a pit bull and ripped open both of my hands, all my fingertips, all 10 of my fingers, on that fucking idiot's teeth to get that dog to let go of my cat. Now, I became a different person, and Dog Days is about the person that I became. And I'm, you know, like I said, you know, I can be nice, and I can be, I don't know, it's a hard thing to figure. You know, I like to think of myself as a nice person, but I look back over my last week, my last month, my last year, and I know that those aren't good things. You know, that's not a good guy. You know, I continue mm-hmm. to do that. I'm a horrible person, like I said, but you know, I want to be better, because you know, the memory of my cat is far better than anything that I could come up with on my own. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does, and I think that, you know, the way you express yourself and the points that you make are deep to me, because you're broadening my mind to things that I've been looking at kind of like narrow-minded. So, you know,
well,
definitely.
Let me ask you this. You know, I mean, I'm not going to judge you, but, I mean, you know, are you pro-dog or are you pro-cat?
I actually just like animals, but if I'm going to choose an animal...
You have animals.
I don't. I had a Yorkie, but I had to get rid of it due to my landlord not wanting it in the apartment. But I would choose a little small toy dog before any big dog or any cat. But I love them all, to be honest with you. I had cats in my life.
I
had dogs in my life.
I'm a disavowed dog hater. And you know, it's never really explicitly stated in the book, you know, killing pit bulls. But the main character, which is me, you know, is constantly getting drunk and going out to liquor stores and buying two things, beer and antifreeze. And the beer is to get drunk, and the antifreeze is to kill dogs. But I never killed a dog, you know, and I could never kill a dog. You know, I could
mm-hmm.
never, you know, if I actually had to kill my own meat, you know, to survive, I mean, I'd be much thinner than I am now, put it that way. You know, I really can't, I'm a very guilt-ridden carnivore. And the main reason mm-hmm. I eat meat is because my hangovers are so bad that I need high sudden doses of protein so that I can, you know, get up and go back out to the bar and do the things I need to do. But I, you know, I'm not, I really wish, I mean, vegan, I can all think I could handle, but at least vegetarian I could muster. And probably my greatest regret is that I've continued to eat meat. You know, it makes me a hypocrite, and I despise myself for it.
Right, but don't despise yourself. You know, it's a progress in motion. So tell us a little bit more about Dog Days, because, you know, I want people to go out there and get it, or even if it's not Dog Days, they just definitely go to Gene's website. Am I correct by saying
sexanddeathradio.com?
Yes,
.com,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just was curious, in Dog Days, you know, what has the reception been, you know, since people have been getting a book? And I know that you do a lot of, like, book readings and things of that nature. What has the reception been?
I'll tell you, you know, and this is the one great accomplishment that I've had in my life, because this is my first book. I mean, I've had two books before that. there were journalism, I guess, ostensibly, whatever the fuck it was. But Dog Days, all I ever wanted to do, I started out interviewing people and doing movie reviews and writing about other people in so many different ways because I genuinely cared about that stuff. And I cared about people that didn't have the financial support, you know, to get their movie made or get, you know, to write their book. And I was in the same fucking boat. And I wasn't really ready to do it myself. Once I did it, I found myself to be exactly like all of those people that I'd ever interviewed. And I got rid of the journalism, and I just started I started writing about what really mattered to me, which at that point was the death of my cat. It's, you know, Dog Days. And it touched a real nerve. It did. That's why I say it's the most... It's the purest success that I've ever felt, because everybody that reads that book has something to say about it. And you know, not to sound like an asshole, but people like the book. You know, it's actually a powerful, good book. I guess that's what I wanted. But you know, the second volume is going to be a lot harder to like because it's about the abuse of children. I was with this horrible woman in Detroit for about 2 years, and you know, 2 years doesn't sound like a long time, but it, you know, for us it was enough time to have like 5 or 6 abortions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the last abortion, we'd broken up and she'd thrown me out. I had no shoes. I was literally physically freezing to death and starving to death. This whole miasma of like welfare culture, Detroit, you know, and she wasn't really part of the rock and roll scene or anything. She was like the suburban Detroit girl. But I took on her children so she could go through school, and I you know, took them every day to the park, to the library, you know, tried to teach them about books and bought them candy and everything that you're supposed to do as a surrogate father, I did. Well, when you're talking about the abuse and the neglect of children, I mean, you know, I mean, as if Dog Days wasn't hard to put up with enough with all the self-mutilation and alcoholism, here we have this, which is, you know, talking about kids. I mean, come on, it's like it's impossible to deal with. I wanted to write an unreadable book, and I think that I have written an unreadable book because... it is the way the world works. You know, I'm sorry I don't have a happy ending for you, but, you know, hey, it's what happened. The only thing I can muster to make it worthwhile or to redeem it in any way is to make it funny. And there's a lot of humor there, but it's not the kind of humor that any normal person is going to connect with. So I am, you know, damning myself to, you know, the quadrant that I currently occupy, which is, I don't know, I'm homeless. I'm homeless, I'm broke, and... I don't give a fuck, you know. I'm too angry and too hurt now to really care about what I used to have or what I thought things would be. You know, it's just about getting shit done, you know. And, you know, Dog Days, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing an interview, you know. Come back in a few minutes and we'll talk. Yeah. Sorry, that's one of my boys. I have boys wherever I go. I like this one to crack, you know. But, hey, what it comes down to is that, I don't know, you know, there is beauty and magic and there's redemption in the misery. And hopefully I illustrate that, you know, really well. It's not just about the jokes of it, you know. I mean, that's just the sugar that makes the medicine go down. But, you know, there's a lot of heart in me, and there's a lot of heart in the people that I've been around, even if they're girlfriends that I despise, you know, who wanted me dead and tried to kill me, and my girlfriends have done this. Still, I find where their heart is, and I give them their own day in court. You know, everybody, you know, I'm not out there just slander people. You know, I think that, you know, I like to let people be who they are, and, you know, and the public gets to judge us all on our own merits. That's a good thing about it, you know. And this whole, like, you know, where everybody wants to be on TV, everybody wants to be public and seen, you know, they don't consider what they're representing before they go on. That's the problem with that, is that people don't, like, think about what are you pushing? And so, well, that's a cynical viewpoint, right? You have to push something. No, you don't have to push something. You just have to be who you say you are. And that's not pushing something. That's, you know, that's promoting goodness in the world. And I don't equate that with pushing. Pushing, I equate with drugs. You know, if you feel like Steven Spielberg, you put out a stupid movie. It's got nothing to say to anybody really, but make them feel better without having earned the right to feel better. Then yeah, you're a pusher. You know, it's emotional pornography. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So tell us, Gene, you know, for those who are interested in writing, you know, and tuned in tonight, what's a piece of advice you could give to them?
Stenciled on my favorite, well, not my favorite writer, but my first favorite writer's headstone, Charles Bukowski. He died in 1990, I think it was four, it might have been three. But his headstone says, "Don't try."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's and you know, and I get this. People come up to me, even though I'm not famous, even though I'm like, I mean, I haven't really established much yet. People do come up to me a lot, and they ask me writers. You know, like we can sniff each other out. You know, it's like you know, you know, you can smell shit when it's around.
Right.
The writers smell like shit. But
mm-hmm.
they say, like, you know, they ask the same question. Well, what do you do? And I tell them what Bukowski decided, you know, to have on his headstone. And he did that because he lived it. He lived by those rules and those lines. Don't try. If you're trying, then you're a fake. You're a failure. You're an idiot. You're a douchebag. You know? If you mean what you say and you are who you are, you don't try, you just do it. Period. Very
mm-hmm.
simple. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I hate to be an asshole. People are like, oh, what do I, you know, like, people are like, imagine like somebody who actually was successful, who was somebody that of some literary merit. If I'm getting it, how bad are they getting it? They're getting it like left, right, and center. Same question. Every time they go out to order fucking buy some milk or have a cheeseburger, they're getting fucking people all over crawling up and down their arms saying, what do I do different? Or how do I, you know, what's wrong with me? And, you know, don't try. So you need to say, don't try. Do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you can't do it, then fuck off.
Right.
You know, does that make me a bad guy to, like, be that brutal? I mean, you know, you want advice, that's advice. It's not advice, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do it or don't do it.
Exactly.
Fuck,
and
know?
In my mind, there's nothing like someone who can tell you the truth.
Well, like I said, I try to be a nice guy, but I have a pink polyurethane baggie full of crack, and I'm about to smoke it, and God knows what will happen, you know? I mean, on the road, Jack Kerouac's great novel comes out, and I actually have a bootleg copy of it on DVD. I'll be watching that, and...
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, my girlfriend's going to, like, beat the shit out of me when I get back inside.
Tell everybody, Gene, where they can stay in tune with you, like where they can buy the book, any social media networks. I found you on Twitter, but I see that you don't really be on Twitter. But if you're on Facebook or anything else that people can follow you on, tell our audience now where they can get you.
Now, the easiest way is Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
I get real stuff on that, so.
Yeah, Amazon.com. And you're on some other sites as well, aren't you? As far as like
tons,
when you,
you know,
you're selling your book.
Look, there's this whole thing I'd like to clear up. I don't know how much time you have left.
Oh, we have like 5 minutes, yes. Please do.
All right. Well, I mean, there's this – it takes me months. You know, I announce a book, and I fully expect to have it, you know, commercially available within a couple of weeks. And it ends up being – more than a couple weeks, it ends up being a couple of months. So people are always accusing me of being a thief and a ripoff, you know, is spending it on drugs. Yes, I do spend it on drugs, but anybody that sends me their money gets what they paid for. I just can't say exactly when. So if you go to Amazon.com, you know, they're handling the order, not me, and you'll get your book within, you know, 3 or 5 or 6 days. If you get it from me, you'll get an autographed copy, but it might take a couple months because I have terrible appetites, you see. Miss Precious.
Mm-hmm. That's not a problem, and I appreciate you putting that out there, definitely. So as far as social media is concerned, where can people follow you to stay in tune or friend you at?
Like my name's Gene Gregorits. This is what Google's for. You just Google, find me on Facebook, or you can find me on Amazon. You can find my own website, which is sexandgutsradio.com. Sex and Guts is the magazine that I did 20,000 years ago that I don't, talk about too much. It was a movie magazine. It's not that interesting, I like the fact that it's through this entire thing we've been able to talk about dog days, because that's what I'm doing now, but Sex and Guts was the old thing. I brought it back because that seems to have made the most impact on people. I don't know, people like trashy movies and trashy rock and roll, so Sex and Guts, radio.com, that's how I market the books. What I'd like to do is GeneGregorits.com. I don't think people really give a fuck about Gene Gregorits.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, anyway.
Absolutely. So we definitely are here to support. And for all those who are tuned in and listening to the show, and the show can also be listened to again on our archive link. You can get it from iTunes. You can download it from our app. Everybody knows how to stay in tune. Definitely go to Amazon for Dog Days and get your copy today. So I know that Hannah mentioned that you're going to have a reading tomorrow. You want to tell them where that's going to be located?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a reading tomorrow. I'm going to do a lot of coke. I'm going to do a lot of ecstasy, and I'm going to blow your fucking minds, with some hard truths that maybe you don't want to accept, but the spice on the poison is basically this. I find the humor in the most horrible situations, and that's what my writing's about. So if anybody wants to know what I do, I find humor in hell. I'll talk to you about hell if you want to come to Banter at 132 Evanmeyer Avenue. I used to live right across the street, actually. I spent 4 years living right across the street from the place, and when I lived there, there was nothing there, and I didn't come back to the neighborhood for 13 years, but when I did, Jesus Christ, everything was completely different. Where there used to be, it was nothing but tenements. And all of a sudden, there are bars and clubs and boutiques and everything. And that's Williamsburg, I guess. But that's where, I'm reading right across the street from where I used to live. Somehow that's important to me. because the book that I'm reading from about the cat Hank, Hank was my best friend during the entire time I lived in Williamsburg. And what happened to him in Baltimore, it's a different story. And I'll be talking about that tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Honey,
the location?
Just fucking hang up on me. Oh, what? It's called Banter. Banter.
Okay,
it's
Banter.
It's a bar. Banter on 132 Havemeyer Avenue, Brooklyn, 111. Oh, wait. There's too many ones. 11211. Second
Absolutely.
Stop on the L train.
Absolutely.
I want to apologize to you. You deserve better. I'm a fucking asshole, right?
No, you're not. I really, really thank you so much for taking the time to allow us to gain on you tonight. Like I said again, if there's any way that we can help you promote or do anything, to help push it, then please keep in touch and let us know. I'm definitely going to go.
You have the information. Just tell people I'll be in Brooklyn tomorrow night, and I will be. I can't say
Absolutely.
What condition I'll be in, but I will be there.
Absolutely.
There will be drugs. Bring drugs. Okay, one more thing. Can I just say this? If you're going to do this show, bring drugs. Lots of drugs. Ecstasy, heroin, cocaine.
Bring
marijuana
it all.
Bring it all.
Bring it all. Bring it all. Bring it all. So any parting words before I let you go, Gene?
I think we hit it before. Don't try. Do it.
Do it. Absolutely. So thank you so much, Dean, for calling in tonight. We really appreciate you. You have a good night, and much success to all the awesome things that you have going on.
Oh, thank you. You're a sweetheart.
You're really welcome.
I'm flattered that you took this time for me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Precious. Do I get to meet you sometime?
Yeah, definitely. Hannah's going to actually bring me to one of your events. I can't make it tomorrow, but definitely anything in January, I'm definitely going to be there.
Okay. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you so much.
Bullshit.
No problem. You have a good night.
Right.
Okay,
too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, guys, so that was Gene. So definitely go and Google him, as he said, and find him. Real, raw, straight to the point, no chasers. I've never had such an inspiring interview, and I say that in terms of just someone who's just being himself and not afraid or ashamed to let you guys know that this is him. Through the drugs, through the alcohol, through the point where he was around New York walking with flip-flops on in the winter. It's all real, and I could appreciate anyone who appreciates, you know, things like that and can really talk about them and not try to sugarcoat anything, because there's too many people pretending to be characters. And when you can just be your own person, then I think that speaks in volumes. So I definitely want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. For all those who tuned in for Gene for the first time for the Intune show, I hope it's not your last. We have a ton of amazing things that we do in an Intune show. We have a ton of amazing people that contribute their time and energy to the show. So definitely make sure you check us out. If you're not registered to our website, then definitely do that at www.theintuneshow.com. You can definitely follow us on Twitter at Intune Show, and that's NTUNEDSHOW. You can find us on Facebook at Intune Show and Intune Show 2. We have two pages because our first one is full with 5,000 amazing people like yourselves. You can definitely like our like page. You can show your support by tuning into our Teens in Tune program and also liking and following us on Facebook and Twitter at Teens in Tune. Just be in tune. January, we have a lot of great things that's happening. Like Gene said earlier, and as so many of our guests said on previous interviews, just throw us into Google. Everything amazing comes up. So I just want to thank you all again. I hope that you guys are in tune tomorrow, because we'll be interviewing Dottie, and Dottie is the PR and marketing person for Deron Jones, who is one of the members of the group 112. So I'm excited to gain on her because she's an awesome person. It's actually Kay Bookman's segment, which is the Power Hour. So definitely tune in tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We're going to be chatting it up with Dottie and learning more about why she does what she do and how come she does it so well. You know, I'm always curious about this. She's a go-getter. She's a strong woman, and I'm definitely, definitely humbled by the fact that we're connected, and, you know, you get inspired by just her energy and all that she does. So tomorrow night, 10 p.m., the Power Hour, be there or be square. Till then, babies, you have a good night, and always stay in tune.
I'm in tune. Represent.